Day he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, and he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" So far the reading of God's holy word. Will also be considering, and really our 3 points or our framework from the outline of Lord's Day 38. So we turn to page 246. Only one question and answer. It is a little bit lengthier, so I will read both the question and the answer, but if we all follow along, page 246, Lord's Day 38, question and answer 103. Question: what is God's will for you in the fourth commandment? Answer: first, that the gospel ministry and schools for it be maintained, and that, especially on the festive day of rest, I diligently attend the assembly of God's people, to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to the Lord publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. That's the confession which we hold in common. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is a fourth commandment still today. This is a statement which is sadly controversial on multiple levels to say today. It will often be said that there are 9 commandments today, or that there are 9 of the 10 commandments repeated in the New Testament, or that perhaps the fourth commandment exists, but in a much, much different way than it did in the Old Testament. And so we have to even speak at times in these days about defending the fourth commandment. And so then there are various objections that could be made, and we could think about just very quickly, a main Old Testament objection and a main New Testament objection often brought up. And so an Old Testament objection frequently used would go something like this. The fourth commandment included enforcement of the death penalty on the nation of Israel for some very particular things. And then the Old Testament objection could be answered, and we can say, well, yes, but the specific civil enforcements of the moral commandments, that's true for other commandments as well. For example, the people of Israel were to stone a rebellious child who was breaking the fifth commandment. Does that mean that we now throw out the fifth commandment because there was specific civil things that the nation of Israel was to do when it was broken? Well, no, we don't throw out the fifth commandment, and we don't throw out the fourth commandment either. And then there are common New Testament objections, such as, does not the Apostle Paul say that we are not to honor one day above another? Well, yes, the Apostle does say that, but he says it in a specific context. Is he talking about a faithful weekly Sabbath keeping? I would submit to you that he's not. It's either a distortion of the weekly Sabbath keeping into legalism, or I think even more clearly at times he's talking about the Sabbaths in the plural and the feast days and the ritual sense which is now gone. For example, we we would no longer celebrate the Passover in the same way since the Passover lamb has come. And so there are days and Sabbaths in the plural that used that word was used to describe other things, which have passed. But the weekly faithful Sabbath keeping, that remains. Okay, these are pretty simplistic answers. This is only especially for the New Testament objection, we need a whole sermon on Colossians 2, right? And so we're not going to do that. So what are we going to do tonight? Well, tonight we're going to focus on the positive reason. And because it's not only that there are answers to the objections that we say there is a fourth commandment still for the people of God. It's also because there are positive reasons, Old and New Testament, which would direct us to keep this blessed day, this holy day. And it's that positive reason that we will focus on tonight. God made the Sabbath for the benefit of man. This was true from the very beginning. This is still true today. God made the Sabbath for the benefit of man. And this great beneficial gift, it has more than one purpose. And these purposes, they're outlined in the Catechism in question 103, and they'll form our outline tonight, that there's first a particular purpose, second a daily purpose, and third an eternal purpose. There is more than one purpose for this beneficial gift to man. So what is that particular purpose? Well, that particular purpose is that weekly purpose rooted in creation. And what does Jesus do when he's confronted with what the disciples are doing in Mark chapter 2? He gives the example of David, yes, but he also goes back to Genesis. He goes back to Genesis. This is not the only time Jesus does this. If we were to turn forward to Mark 10, we would see an example where Jesus is confronted by the Pharisees about the meaning of marriage. And what does Jesus do to defend marriage? Jesus goes back to creation, Matthew 10, 6 to 9. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh. Now, it's very obvious in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus is going back to creation to defend the seventh commandment and what marriage should look like. It's only slightly less obvious that Jesus is going back to creation to defend the very purpose of the Lord's day, of the Sabbath. Because what does he say in verse 27? He says, Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What's going on there? What happened first, day six or day seven? That's what Jesus is saying. Day six, man is created. And then woman and the first marriage. That happens on day six. And then day seven, and the Sabbath day is blessed and made holy. And that's what Jesus is doing. He's saying, look, what was made first? What was made first? The Sabbath was made second. It was made for man. And we can talk about how a man made in the image of God, male and female, he created them. And woman, last of all, they are the crown of creation. They are the crown of those 6 days of creation. But there's a sense in which we could use the word made to describe the seventh day. God made the Sabbath on the seventh day. And so there is one part of the creation week which follows the creation of man. Only one. The Sabbath was made for man on the seventh day after the creation of man on the sixth day. Jesus is doing the same thing he does in Mark chapter 10. He is confronted by the Pharisees for a proper understanding of the law, and he goes back to Genesis 1 and 2, and he says, we can learn from Genesis 1 and 2, from the very beginning. You don't have to read your Old Testament scrolls very far, Pharisees, and you would already see the answer. And this is what Exodus 20 does as well, is it not? the verse which we read almost every Lord's Day, Exodus 20, verse 8. First of all, it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, in verse 8. And then in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In the giving of the Ten Commandments, why would the word remember be used? The word remember isn't used when some of these specific ceremonial instructions are given regarding what to do in the temple and the sacrifices. The word remember isn't given for some of the specific civil penalties that the nation of Israel was to use to enforce the moral commands. No, because you're not remembering anything. There's a new institution, a temporary institution of some of these things. But the word remember is used for the fourth commandment in Exodus chapter 20 because Moses is saying, look, this is already a command. This is from creation. This was the first full day of man on earth, was a Sabbath day. Remember that. Don't forget it. And so the giving of the law in Exodus chapter 20 would go back to Genesis just as Jesus, when he is asked what is the true meaning of the Sabbath, goes back to Genesis and says, look, Sabbath was made on the seventh day after man. It was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is from creation. And that's what Genesis 2 says. That's what Genesis 2 says. Genesis 2, verse 3. What happened? Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Genesis 2, beginning at verse 1. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. And so now Adam has his first full day on earth as a Sabbath day. And that was a busy sixth day. Now sometimes the world will mock everything that happened on the sixth day and said it was impossible for Adam to do all this. Adam named all of the animals and got married on the same day. That's impossible. Well, no, God created kinds, an individual species. Adam didn't have to name, you know, the Chihuahua and the Labradoodle and the Retriever and all this. No, he just had to name the wolf, and right, so it actually would have been quite doable. But still a pretty busy day to name all of the animals and get married on the same day. He probably had a busier wedding day than you did, right? And so Adam is ready for the seventh day when it comes, and God makes the seventh day and says, I am making this day holy, and this is a day for you. Rest. Focus upon me. From creation, this is true, and in the giving of the moral law, how does the fourth commandment begin? Remember. This isn't something new. This isn't something particular to the nation of Israel and the temple. Remember the Sabbath day. And keep it holy. This is a great gift. This is a blessing for the people of God. Now, we can make it even this particular day, which should be a day of rejoicing and all these things, we can make it a legalistic, ascetic kind of day. We can give too much, right? And so there are things which we are allowed to do on the Sabbath. Jesus in Mark chapter 2, he's not saying, you know, to the men who had the ability to be fishermen in a commercial kind of extent. He's not saying, you know, return to your fisherman work and labor. And, you know, go and make some money for us to go traveling for the rest of the week. No, he's not saying return to your commercial labor, you who were once fishermen. He's not telling Matthew, you know, go be a tax collector again. But he's saying, well, look, we can pluck the grain and eat We can do that which is necessary for us to live. We can do these basic things. We can't set up such a kind of legalistic set, and that's what the Pharisees had done and continue to do to this day. There are some very interesting things that go on in the nation of Israel today on the Sabbath, on Saturdays, as they we'll get there in the second point. But he's not saying that. No, he says you can eat food. There's other exceptions given, right? In Luke 14, verse 5, he said to them, "Which of you having a son or an ox has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out?" And the basic principle is this. Calvin's commentary on Mark 2, quote, "The general meaning is that those persons judge amiss who turn to man's destruction, saying, you can't even eat, you can't pull someone out of a well when they're stuck. Those persons judge amiss who turn to man's destruction, the Sabbath, which God appointed for his benefit." It's for our benefit. So works of mercy, works of charity, works of necessity, these are things which can be done on the Lord's Day. Now, we might wish some of them didn't have to be done. We might wish that we could go and we could tell the police department, look, there's going to be no crime today. You can just take Sundays off. Don't worry. Nobody's going to do anything illegal. We might wish that we could say to nurses and doctors, no one's going to get sick today. We can't do either of those things. And so there are works of necessity which must be done. And it's good for man to eat on the Sabbath day. But our earthly cares should be set aside as much as possible to celebrate this gift, to celebrate this holy day. What is the first purpose of the fourth commandment? That I would, especially on the festive day of rest, diligently attend the assembly of God's people, learn what God's word teaches, participate in the sacraments, pray to the Lord publicly, and bring Christian offerings to the poor. Surely this is for man's good. Surely. That as much as possible, all earthly matters would be removed from us, even set out of our mind, earthly cares removed as much as possible, but then that vacuum wouldn't be an empty vacuum, but that it would be filled with spiritual things. That it would be a day dedicated to the Lord. This is a great blessing. A Presbyterian pastor once said it this way: imagine a saint who is born in a godly home. Who comes to a maturity, makes a profession of faith at a young age, and by God's grace does not have a time of strain, who lives in the church. Imagine that saint. By the time they are 35, if they've been faithfully following this great gift that God has given to them, if they've been dedicating that day to the things of the Lord, by the age of 35, 7 years of their life have been dedicated to learning about the Lord. Now, the New Testament calls us to be Christians and to grow in maturity. Do you think there's an avenue to grow in maturity? Take this day of blessing. Make it a holy day. Fill it with the things of the Lord. Remove those earthly cares as much as possible. You're 35 years old. 7 years of your life have been dedicated to this. You're 70 years old. 10 years of your life have been dedicated to this. I rejoice that by God's grace, I've been called to be a minister of the word. It's my earthly toil to work in the word each day. But I'm not the only one that has that opportunity. 10 years of your life by the time you're 70? What a great gift! What a great gift! This is for man's benefit. This is a wonderful avenue to grow in maturity. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Now there is also a daily purpose for this day. We read most often from Exodus 20, but sometimes we turn to Deuteronomy 5 and we find the second giving of the law there. In Deuteronomy 5, says this, 6 days you shall labor, that part is the same, verses 13 and 14. And then Deuteronomy 5, verse 15 says this, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. What is the deliverance from Egypt so often in both the Old and New Testament? It's a picture of deliverance from sin. It's a picture of we are taken from the slavery of sin, and now we are to be the grateful servants of God. Well, is this not related to the second purpose that the Catechism outlines for us? What is God's will for you in the second commandment? Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. You see, there's no disharmony between Exodus and Deuteronomy. It's not as if we come to Deuteronomy and they forgot that it had a creation purpose, but it's a both and. We both look back at creation and in a particular way think about deliverance from sin. And Deuteronomy doesn't remove that from the 1 and 7 structure, but it's not a large leap to go from there to then to think about that daily purpose, the daily purpose of setting aside sin, of putting on God. Surely we know that anyone who would focus so particularly on the weekly purpose of the Sabbath that they would think they can be a one-day-a-week Christian, well, they have completely missed the point. And so we have both Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And, again, something that would really be a whole sermon by itself to go into, but why do we celebrate on the first day? Why don't we celebrate on the seventh day? Right? Okay, big question. But what's a kind of a short answer? Well, deliverance from sin? What happened on Sunday? Christ arose. The grave is conquered. The work of redemption and deliverance from sin, the work of salvation is completely finished. And he arose on the first day. It is the Lord's day. It is the day that the people miraculously heard the word proclaimed in their own language. It is the day of Pentecost. It is Sunday. It is the first day. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday. Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Deliverance from sin, the daily purpose. It's no wonder we celebrate the weekly Sabbath on Sunday. It's no wonder that even though we can read about the apostles still going to the synagogue for evangelistic purposes, and so we can turn to Acts and we can read about how the apostle is going to the synagogue and he's preaching to the Jews. Whenever we read about exclusive New Testament church type of activity, it's either sometimes daily, but most often Lord's Day, first day activity. And so we could turn to a passage like 1 Corinthians 16, and it's no surprise, this day of deliverance, this day of Christ conquering death, this day of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the church, that this is the day when particular religious activity would occur, that this is the day that was now special to the New Testament people. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I directed the churches in Galatia, so you also are to do on the first day of the week,
Each of you is to put something aside and to store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. The first day of the week, that was the day when they gathered. That was the day when the disciples gathered and when Jesus came and said, Thomas, you may touch my side. Already the very next days, right? The very next Sunday. The first Sunday after Resurrection Sunday. The disciples were gathered together. It is no wonder. A day that from the time of Deuteronomy and before, but it's spelled out in Deuteronomy 5, right? It's a day related to the deliverance from sin and the putting off of sinful things. And it's no wonder that when Christ conquers sin and completes the work of redemption, that we would then celebrate the Sabbath on that day. It's not a surprise. Culturally, it would be a surprise. I mean, culturally, there was no reason for the New Testament saints to pick this day. And the Romans would sometimes find it strange that these Christians wanted Sunday as their day of worship, as their holy day. It was no one else's holy day. Couldn't they just do what the Jews did? I mean, they were already having to let the Jews do certain things. Why Sunday? Because it's the day that Christ arose. And there's a daily purpose to put off sin in light of what Christ has done. In light of what Christ has done, let us put off sin. But this in no way undoes the particular and weekly purpose. No, it's no wonder that we celebrate this day. It's no wonder the Catechism calls it the festive day of rest. This is for our benefit. This is the day that Christ arose. Now, at this point, we can also pause and remember that the whole world should keep this commandment. The whole world should keep this commandment. You know, sometimes we might think, you shall not murder. Well, that applies to me, and that applies to my neighbor. You shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Well, that applies to me because I'm a Christian, but does that apply to my neighbor? Yeah, that applies to your neighbor too. Right? I mean, it's rooted in creation, right? I mean, what does Jesus say in Mark 2? Does he say, Sabbath was created for religious man? No. It was created for all man. On the seventh day, it was made. Laying aside earthly cares, a day to focus upon the Lord, to the natural flesh of man. That sounds weird. I mean, living for the weekend and taking some time off for yourself, that sounds about right. So this kind of, Christian don't work on Sunday, yeah, I can get into that, but it's not a day of holiness. It's a day for me. No. The world is in moral rebellion against God when the world fails to set aside sin every day and when the world fails to dedicate a time of worship to God. This is sin. It is a failure to come before God and celebrate who He is. It's a failure to look to Him, to worship Him. Man thinks he doesn't need it. He pretends he doesn't need this day, but man needs this day. And man can pretend that he doesn't need this day both in regards to that first and that second purpose. And we can do this. It's not only a sin of the world, it's the sin of the people of God.
Do we sometimes think Sunday is our day? Do we think certain sins are okay on Friday night? Do we think grumbling is okay on Monday? Well, we could really justify that one, right? It's like, well, you know, I just enjoy Sunday so much because it's the day of the Lord that it's okay to grumble on Monday, right? Because it's not the day of the Lord. Oh, we could really justify that one. No. It is for the good of man that we would put off sin every day and celebrate deliverance in a particular way each week. Holy Sabbath keeping is a commandment for all, and it is for the good of all men that this commandment would be kept. Now, there is also an eternal purpose. If you would turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. We could just read verses 9 and 10 and 11, but you kind of need the context at least a little bit. We need to at least talk about the context. It's the context where the land of Canaan is the land which pictures rest. And it's very clear at the end of chapter 3. And then we get to this language in chapter 4. Beginning at verse 1, therefore, while the promise of entering this rest, that rest pictured by the land of Canaan, still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Oh, what's the rest that they're striving to enter into? We can't get into everything going on here clearly, but it's that picture of Canaan as an eternal land of rest. We think of the language, right, of the song, right? Land me safe on Canaan's side. It's that kind of picture. It's get me to that land of rest. There is still that even eternal and perfect Canaan, the new Jerusalem. This is something to look for. This is an eternal purpose of Sabbath. An eternal Sabbath. There is an eternal day of rest yet to come. The new heavens and the new earth. We begin in this life the eternal Sabbath by setting aside our evil ways every day. That's how the Catechism says it at the end of question 103. Now this in no way gets rid of the first or the second purpose. It's clearly in line with that second purpose, right? That we would set aside evil ways every day. But it doesn't, while we yet tarry on this earth, get rid of the creation weekly purpose. They're all in harmony with one another. They actually reflect each other. In this way, think of it this way, people of God. What is the new heavens and the new earth? It's a place of worshiping God alongside our brothers and sisters in Christ. Does that sound familiar? What is the foretaste of the eternal Sabbath in a particular way on this earth? Now, in a daily way, the foretaste is that we would set aside all of our evil ways every day. That's what the Catechism says. But what's the particular way? The particular way is to gather with the brothers and sisters in Christ in the Lord's house on the Lord's holy day. That's a foretaste of heaven. Why would we ever set this great gift aside? The fact that there's an eternal Sabbath doesn't get rid of either the daily. It's not like, oh, look, the first purpose is gone now and the second purpose is gone now for us on earth. No, the second purpose reflects it. Yes, let's set aside sin every day, looking forward to that time when sin will be set aside completely. And we no longer even need to think about sin. But let's also, in an even more particular way, come together and celebrate and enjoy this gift, this foretaste of heaven, worshiping in the presence of angels. Why would we ever neglect this wonderful gift? Surely, Sabbath is for man's good. It is a gift. And that eternal Sabbath is only a gift for the redeemed of God. It is only for those who hear his voice, who do not harden their hearts. This is not a perfect foretaste. It's something to never be neglected, but it's not perfect. No church is perfect. We can even, sin is so pervasive. Not only do we struggle with sin each day, but we can even struggle to delight in the foretaste of heaven. That's the depths of sin in our own heart. But for those who do look to Christ, there is an eternal Sabbath which is no longer just a foretaste, but the great gift itself. And there, not only will all the physical sins that we struggle against in our daily life, not only will they be completely removed and it is a place of no sin, but even our emotional sins will be removed, right? So that this struggle that it's like, how is it that I'm so sinful I even struggle to delight in the great gifts that God has given to me? Well, that's going to be no more. Your delight and your joy is going to be a perfect delight and a perfect joy. It's hard to even think about how that works. This is the hope to which we have been called. May we in this life already seek to follow the particular purpose, the daily purpose. But may we look to Jesus and believe in him, that we may enter that perfect and eternal Sabbath rest. Amen. Let us pray. Father God Almighty, renew us each day. Renew us each week. And give us that perfect longing
for that perfect Sabbath. When our joy will be a perfect joy, what does that even mean, Lord? We long to know. We long to feel that kind of joy. Make us to look to Him who was perfect even on this earth. To look to Jesus Christ. So that we might know that great, great gift. Even while not neglecting the gifts you have given while we tarry here below. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People of God, our song of response, standing if able to sing, 153. People of God, it's now time for our gifts, our offerings this evening. That's for the general fund. Following that, our benediction and the doxology, 473, verse 3. Thank you. People of God, if you would stand, Fable. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.